Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. And as you guys can hear, my voice is just about shot. Today's show is going to be a typical mailbag show. I'm going to keep it a little shorter today because this is rough. Let's dive right in, though. And also, hey, the Lakers play the Celtics tonight. That's also pretty fun. So we'll see if they come up. Let's dive in, though. First question here comes from international Laker fan. Hey, Anthony and Pete. Love the content, guys. Keep it up. My question is, what about the Lakers would you change if you were a team owner? This is much less about personnel and more about the brand logo, team name, city, colorway, etc. I know it's hard because we have such an awesome history with our current brand, but I won't take nothing for an answer. I would personally change our Lakers name to something more LA-based. I personally like the Los Angeles Stars. I actually like the Lakers thing. It's just, it has a nice ring to it. And at this point, it's so synonymous with success that I wouldn't completely rebrand. What I would probably do though is I would offer up a little bit more freedom with the uniforms. I really love the light blue MPLS jerseys that they had. One of my favorite retro jerseys of all time is more of the royal blue with the cursive Los Angeles on it that Kobe wore to a parade. That's an incredible jersey. I wish the Lakers would have a little bit or offer up a little bit more freedom to companies when they put together those jerseys. So far, all of the city edition jerseys have been pretty underwhelming, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that they weren't given enough freedom to kind of mess around with the design. You had the Magic Johnson, like, kind of now and later purple pinstripe things were hideous. The Kobe ones were nice, the black ones, but again, black jerseys, like, it's kind of hard to mess that up. And then you have this year's Shaq jersey, which is just atrocious. So I'd probably focus on the jerseys. The other thing, too, that I would probably take a look at, and we've talked about this previously, but the in-game experience of watching the Lakers play is pretty boring. I wish they would kind of liven that up a little bit. I'm not saying play music while the game is going on or anything like that, but the food is pretty whatever, and then the experience itself, you know, other than getting to watch LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your home court, the game itself, the presentation of the game itself, it could use a little bit of a refresher. Let's go to the next question here. Jordan Michael B. writes, love tuning into the show all week. Appreciate the work you guys do. Question, how do you guys feel about LeBron's free throw attempts per game? Currently, he is shooting 5.5 attempts as of the Mavs game on 110. That's a career low. Is he just not getting the whistle? Is it because of his strength? So many players embellish contact. They can get so many calls. Just wondering how you guys feel about the lack of whistle for LBJ. P.S. Hashtag fuck Boston. I agree. Today's show especially, that's a perfect hashtag. I think some of this is natural progression to players as their careers go on. You start to see them shoot at the rim with lower and lower consistency, and then their free throw attempts start to drop too. LeBron shoots a lot from the perimeter, and yes, like, he gets a different whistle than smaller players. Shouts to Lou Williams and Trae Young and JJ Barea, but you know, in terms of his approach and how he could tweak it to get to the free throw line more, it's not even just a LeBron thing. Like, it's you have LeBron trying to get to the rim with Anthony Davis on the court and usually JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard on the court, and the key gets uber packed and it becomes impossible to score down there or get there in the first place. So I think, you know, if you really wanted to increase those free throws, I think the Lakers would have to rethink some things that I don't really think they want to rethink. Let's go one more question here. AJ03 writes, hey guys, love the show. Am I the only one concerned with the late game execution the Lakers have shown in close games against good teams? Too often I feel like there is no direction and it turns into LeBron either dribbling too much or turning it over into a 30 or launching a 30 footer. I'm afraid this is being forgotten about because the Lakers are steamrolling most games and will come, and that will come back to bite us in the playoffs. Thanks. Keep up the great work. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Pete and I talk about this all the time, that for some reason in the NBA, execution late in games kind of turns into hero ball, and it's not an approach that either he or I agree with. The Lakers are kind of an nth degree example of this, because you have LeBron on the court and he's going to dribble the air out of the ball, and that's just kind of how he approaches it. But overall, I trust LeBron in those situations. I trust that the Lakers are going to keep getting better in those situations over the course of the season. And come playoff time, when you're worried about this biting them in the butt, this will actually be, I think, a strength of the team, because they know what their identity is going to be no matter how that game is going. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your guys' questions. Today's show is brought to you in part by Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applications to choose from? What education and experience? How will you know you've made the right choice? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, add skill tests to your job post so you can be confident in your applicant's abilities. Their library of more than 50 skill tests ranges from everything from critical thinking to industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests, everything that you could possibly need there. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make your hiring decisions quickly and be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. All right, next question here comes from Carl Withers. And this is a question that we've gotten quite a few times over the course of the last couple mailbags. So this is going to go ahead and count for answering it from everybody else. The Lakers have been killing it against all the teams they should beat, but are 0-3 versus teams that matter. I'm guessing in this case it's going to be Milwaukee and the Clippers. Would you rather them be at their current standing as the one seed in the West, but poor performance against elite teams as they have, or be 3-0 versus the Bucks and Clippers, but have dropped a bunch of games they should have won and be the fourth seed? Thanks, love the show. I would rather be where the Lakers are right now. The only team that I feel like I've walked away from the game legitimately concerned about the way that they match up against them is against Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's a really effing good team. So, you know, I would rather the Lakers have the opportunity to be where they are right now, being the number one overall seed. They can add to their team. They can take their time adding to their team. They can continue to tweak things with the rotations that they currently have. And they have a nice little buffer to do so. And I think that's really, really important. I think it's huge for what the Lakers are trying to do this year. That's not to say that I'm worried about the Lakers being a one seed and that they have home court advantage. That's not really what I'm worried about. They have enough veterans on the team that I think they'll be able to win anywhere come playoff time. But the fact that they are afforded the ability to be able to play at home consistently and have this gap that they have built for themselves, that to me is more important than, you know, not giving up a late run to the Clippers and making that you know, that record look worse than it actually is. So if the Lakers just kind of close things out there, they're 1-2, and is that a huge difference between 1-2 and 0-3? They have opportunities to beat those teams down the road, so I would rather not make that trade. Let's go. Kai Kai Killa writes, "Hey guys, keep up the good work. Love the show. Just had two questions about trades. I've been seeing mostly coups for Bogdanovich, Robert Covington, or possibly Derrick Rose from lots of people, but what do you think about someone like Kelly Oubre from the Suns? Also, looking at production Danny Green has been giving us, compared to how much he has paid, is there anyone realistically you would trade him for? Another thought I had was media always talking about how Clippers already had great chemistry before the season because most of their team is the same, but PG and Kawhi hardly play the same nights. Don't you think they need to develop more on-court chemistry?" Look, honestly, I don't care about the Clippers. I really don't. I think eventually the Lakers are going to face off with them. But comparing the Lakers and Clippers and the analysis of the Lakers and Clippers is kind of a fruitless endeavor. But as far as the first question here, Kuz for Oubre, I don't think would work because I don't think Phoenix is looking to move on from a young player that fits their timeline and they have team control of moving forward. Even if I really like Oubre's game, I just don't think the Suns agree to that trade. And then, you know, can the Lakers trade Danny Green? Well, the problem when you trade a Danny Green is you have to hope that you get somebody who is either good enough to make up for losing Green's skill set, or you hope to, as a part of that trade, land somebody who offers some of that skill set as well as the player that you're looking to upgrade through. So I don't really see the Lakers moving Danny Green. We've said this a few times over the course of the season, but if the Lakers make a trade, it'll be some kind of marginal thing where they turn Quinn Cook and Troy Daniels and another, you know, maybe a young player, Talen Horton-Tucker or Devontae Kaycock, whatever youth that they have at their disposal, maybe they turn a combination of those assets for somebody that, you know, fits a specific skill set that they don't really have right now. But the idea that they're going to trade Danny Green or Kyle Kuzma or a major aspect of the rotation, that's not what the season to this point is demanding. So I don't think you need to mess with something that isn't necessarily broken. The triggered six-year-old writes, me listening to you guys talk about Alex Caruso with a giant printed picture of Alex Caruso on my wall because they don't even sell Caruso posters on Lakers.com or even at the Lakers team store near the practice facility that I went to. We need more Alex Caruso merchandise. I agree. I really agree. Just for you know, if nothing else, it pisses off all the NBA hipster Twitter folks that think he is somehow a problem with the league. Money Mike H writes, sup guys, my question is, what Kobe statue would you want outside Staples Center? For me personally, it's him standing on the broadcast table after Game 7 against the Celtics holding up five fingers. I don't know about the five fingers aspect of it, but similar kind of vibe where he's standing up there on the broadcast table and he just has his arms outstretched. I think what I like about that picture is that it's very representative of his relationship to the city. He just kind of welcomes the city just like they welcome him, and it makes for a really cool relationship that, you know, we don't really see very often, especially nowadays in professional sports, given the way that athletes are jumping from team to team. And I think that being, like, ideally, I would maybe extend Chick Hearn's statue or the bench that he sits at or the table that he sits at and have Kobe standing on there. But I don't think they're going to want to combine statues, so I think that's where you'd be going. But other than that, there isn't anything that really comes to mind for me in terms of an image that I want kind of saved forever outside Staples Center. Let's go one more question here. Average American 2000 writes, hey Pete, what do you think of Kostas winning a ring before Giannis? Well, I'll answer for Pete, and it's a great selling point when Kostas talks to Giannis about what it's like to be a Laker. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to finish off answering your guys' questions. Today's show is brought to you by you guys. We have talked, you guys have heard me reading live reads forever, and one of the things I really want to focus on moving forward with the show is offering more of an LA feel. I want to give some support to local businesses throughout LA. I love the city. The city has loved me and my family, and I want to try to continue to give back. So if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all these great advertisers that we've been working and developed working relationships with, and I want to specifically target you know, local businesses that we can help out here. You might not know, however, that Locked On Lakers is a great way for local businesses to reach passionate Lakers fans who want to also support local businesses, fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast network, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, not just any podcast listener, the absolute best fans of that team and fans of the city. So if your company wants to connect with Locked On Lakers and Lakers fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right there on this Locked On Lakers podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, next question here comes from UU Junior 16, and they're asking about Stephen A. Smith's comments on trading Kuzma for Booker, and I'm just not going to give Stephen A. Smith the light of day on this one. I think he serves a purpose, but, you know, it's funny, when Pete and I had the conversation that we had last Friday about what's kind of wrong with the coverage of the NBA, and we talked about how Tony Romo is probably going to become the highest paid broadcaster in America, and that has been born from his just incredible love of the sport that he covers. I was thinking in the back of my mind, well, the other highest paid broadcaster in America is Stephen A. Smith, and that kind of highlights a lot of what I find wrong with sports coverage. And look, Smith is insanely talented, and he has put in a ton of work to get to reach the amount of success that he has attained. I'm not knocking that hustle at all, and I would never, obviously I'm a little jealous. I would like to have his bank account, but I think, you know, I would like to see the NBA have their version of Tony Romo, who is somebody that just celebrates the game, goes out there, and when you hear him or her calling the game, you really get a feel for how much they love the game, they love the league, they love these players, they love the direction that it's going in. I'm not saying you have to be rah-rah or whatever, but I think the league would be smart to put a little pressure on ESPN and Turner to offer up a better product in terms of the in-game coverage that both those companies have offered to this point. Jeff Van Gundy, I think he serves a purpose. I think he's really smart, but I think he's terrible on these calls. Mark Jackson, I think is, you know, he's been around for a long time, but I think he's awful on these calls. All the TNT people, Reggie, Chris Webber. I want more Chauncey Billups out there. I want more Caron Butlers out there. I want guys, if we're only keeping this to former players, find me former players who actually love this league and love the idea of progress within the league. That's where I think the NBA and baseball also need to catch up to football. Stillo writes, question for Pete and Anthony. Seeing Frank Vogel's rotations and habits so far this season, had this coaching staff been in place last season, would it have gone differently? P.S. I seen a photo of kiwi on pizza and really thought to myself, Anthony would probably try that. Damn right I would try that. My basic, and it's gotten me into some trouble sometimes, but my basic approach to life is try everything at least once, you know, within reason. I have a heart disease, so I can't really go out there and try cocaine or anything like that. But when I saw the kiwi on pizza thing, I think it would depend on the way that it's prepared. I saw like giant kiwi slices. I'd be probably against that. But if you are just kind of offering up kiwi as a way to sweeten the pizza with, you know, and kind of replace pineapple, I'd give it a shot. Why not? But regarding Vogel and his coaching staff and whether last year goes differently if they are in place last year instead of Luke Walton, I think it's probably inarguable that that's the case. Walton appears not to be a very good NBA coach. And Kings fans have been, or at least the Kings fan that I follow, appear to really hate the guy. It looks like, has actually regressed in terms of his ability to take any kind of accountability when he screws up. And I think that really hurts his ability to reach his teams. And you look at his hiring practices for assistant coaches, and yeah, I think if you had Frank Vogel and the rest of the surrounding crew that he and the Lakers put around him, and they were given the opportunity to coach last year's team, I think things would be very different. And it's a great what if, because if last season goes differently, maybe the Lakers don't have to attach so much to land Anthony Davis. And maybe they have more assets this year to be able to acquire the piece that they need to take them over the top. That's an interesting hypothetical. I'm just, and this is wild given the way he was hired, but I'm pretty grateful that Vogel is the guy that they went with him. And to this point, it's really hard to complain about any of his practices to this point. Let's go a couple more questions here. M. Griffith M. writes, "Hey fellas, daily listener here. It's not just the Laker and basketball knowledge. I genuinely appreciate the camaraderie between the three of you. I work for an adaptive sports and nonprofit and wanted to throw you guys a fun question. If you took all the players in the NBA and strapped them in wheelchairs, what would your starting five be? Note the effect of a wheelchair would have on dribbling, height, and speed. All the best, Michael. I think I would just get all the best shooters. And see if I can adapt their shooting abilities to that game. I think that's how I would focus on it. Like you said, size isn't that big a deal when you're talking about everybody is in the sitting position. Dribbling isn't as big a deal. You would want to focus more on ball movement anyway. And if you're focusing on ball movement, you can space out the floor with a bunch of shooters. I think that's where I would go. Fun question, though. That was a really good question. Roberto Jones writes, "Hi, Anthony and Pete. With their impressive play this week, have Troy Daniels and Quick Hook given the Lakers no choice but to waive Cousins if they do indeed sign Collison?" No, I don't think so. They're both kind of sparingly used parts, and the Lakers seem to really believe that the way to continue to convince Davis to stick around beyond this year is by keeping his good friend DeMarcus Cousins. So that's kind of the way that's probably going to go for the rest of this season. That's going to do it on this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Hopefully my voice takes a turn for the better. I caught a pretty nasty stomach flu last night, and this, you can imagine what led to my voice sounding like this. So hopefully that gets better. It was just getting better from the last time, but you know how these things go. Pete will be back tomorrow. We will be recording after the Celtics game. I can't wait for that game. It's going to be a really good one. I can't wait to bring the energy after the Lakers hopefully beat the Celtics in Boston. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.